We turn to the book of the Acts, please, in chapter 13. We're glad to see you all tonight. I'm sure there are many here tonight that don't know the Savior, but we're especially glad to see you. The desire of our hearts tonight is that God might bless you with His salvation. Can we read, please? We'll break into the text down at verse 27. Maybe I should just make these introductory remarks. A little band of strangers went into the city of Antioch, which is now in the country that we know as Turkey, over 1900 years ago, and they went into the Jewish synagogue and they sat down. And after they sat down, one of the leaders of the synagogue went up to them and asked them if they had anything that they might want to say to the people. One of those men was the man that we know today as Paul the Apostle. And Paul rose to his feet. And what we're going to read just now is part of what he had to say. Verse 27. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. Verse 38, for the sake of time. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. God bless to us his precious word. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. I want to speak this evening about this man. Of course, you've already heard about this man tonight. This unique man. The man that was God's fellow, God's equal. Who came out from heaven into this world of sin. Was born as a babe in Bethlehem. Lived a perfect sinless life. And went about doing good. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. This man is the man I want to present to you this evening. That's the man that Paul preached. Who is this man? Well, this is what Paul says. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. We're not left in any doubt whatever this evening who this man is. It's the man Jesus. I want you to notice the things that Paul stresses about this man. First of all, he stresses the facts of his death upon the cross. His death on Calvary is not just a fable, and it's not a figment of imagination. It is a fact of history. That God's eternal Son came down from heaven only to do men good. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And so he speaks about the death of this man. And then he tells us something very remarkable. He tells us not only the facts about his death, but he tells us that that death was predicted in the Old Testament scriptures. Every part of the Old Testament was written at least 400 years before Jesus was born. And yet our Old Testament tells us hundreds of years before he was born about his coming into the world. The place where he was to be born, Bethlehem. The fact that he was to have a unique entrance into this world, he was to be born of a virgin. And the Old Testament tells us about his miraculous healing ministry when he was here, that he would give sight to the blind, and so on. And the Old Testament tells us the very price that was paid to betray the Lord Jesus into the hands of the Romans. And then we have detail after detail after detail about his death upon the cross. Psalm 22 was written, catch this, will you? It was written 1,000 years before Jesus was born. Yet the psalm begins with these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Are you familiar with those words? Maybe some of you aren't. But those were the very words spoken by Christ when he was hanging on the cross at the end of the 3 hours of darkness. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And in the midst of that beautiful psalm, we have a description of death by crucifixion, even to the point where it says, they pierced my hands and my feet. And it was written hundreds of years before crucifixion was ever invented. We could elaborate, I won't take the time. But I want you to know, my friend, tonight, that Calvary was no accident. And Calvary was not the result of God being taken by surprise. Calvary was pre-planned by God before time began. and predicted by God in hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament scriptures. Notice what it says here. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, that's the Old Testament, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the sepulchre. So all that they did was a fulfillment of God, of what God foretold for us hundreds of years before ever he came. I want to challenge this audience this evening. You show me a book written hundreds and hundreds of years ago with hundreds of prophecies, every one of which has been fulfilled with 100% accuracy and in the minutest detail. Show me such a book. There's only one. And that's the Bible. The Word of God. So his death was predicted. His death was proved. Because they laid him in the sepulchre. You don't bury a living man. And so he speaks about the death and the burial of Christ. But then I want you to listen to this thrilling statement. But God raised him from the dead. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives. He lives forever with his saints to reign. Hallelujah. Christ arose. I want you to know, my friend, sitting here tonight, that Jesus is alive and well. He's alive forevermore. He's seated at God's right hand in heaven. And he's the Savior of all those that trust him. Now notice our text. Through this man who died and who was buried and who rose again the third day, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Listen. Paul didn't know anybody in his audience. He hadn't the foggiest idea what the attitude of each individual was toward this man. But he could say to them, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And Paul could have gone to any audience on the face of this world. And he could have said exactly the same thing. If he were alive today, he could have gone down to Gastown. He could have gone along to one of these rescue missions and seen some of these poor men that are derelicts, slaves to drink, slaves to drugs, slaves to all sorts of sin. And he could have said to them, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Listen. Through this man is preached unto you, whoever you are, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. There isn't a single person in this auditorium tonight that can't have their sins forgiven. I don't know how bad you are or how good you are, at least in your own estimate. But I want you to know this. You're not so bad that God doesn't love you. And you're not so bad that Christ didn't die for you. And you're not so bad that you can't have your sins forgiven. You can have your sins forgiven, whoever you are. You see, when Christ hung upon the cross, the Bible says, Christ suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The other night we were looking at this beautiful text. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And when Paul stood in the market square of Corinth, that city that had given itself over to the worst kind of idolatry and the greatest kinds of immorality, he stood in their market square and he said, Christ died for our sins. Isn't that wonderful? You see, that's why through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. I wonder, is there someone here tonight that wants their sins forgiven? You see, you'll never get to heaven without having your sins forgiven. But through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. But you say, is that all my sins? Could it be that there are some of my sins that will remain unforgiven? Follow the text through, will you? Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. In other words, if you're prepared to believe on this man, to acknowledge him as your Savior and as your Lord, not only will he forgive your sins, but he'll totally blot out the record. And he'll blot out the total record of your sins. Billy Gray was a man from Cornwall in England. He'd lived quite a wicked life in his younger days, but God saved him. And he had such an appreciation of what God had done for him that you could not stop Billy Gray saying, "Praise the Lord." I understand that on one occasion he went up to the manse and he knocked on the door, and when the vicar's wife came to the door, her face fell as soon as she saw who it was. She said, "What do you want, Billy?" He said, "I want to speak to the master." So she brought him into the house and led him into the parlor, maybe it was in those days, and she wondered to herself, what can I do to stop Billy praising the Lord while I go and get my husband? So she pulled a book off the bookshelf. It was an encyclopedia. And she thought to herself, Billy's not going to find anything in there to praise the Lord about. And she said, "Here you are, Billy. You read that while I go to get the master." She hardly left the room when she heard, "Praise the Lord!" And rushing into the room, she said, "Billy, Billy, what have you found to praise the Lord about in there?" "Well," he said, "I've just read that in some places the sea is 7 miles deep, and he's cast my sins into the depths of the sea. Praise the Lord! 7 miles deep!" Do you know the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Why doesn't the Bible say as far as the north is from the south? I'll tell you why. Because you can measure the distance between north and south. But if you started traveling east with a compass in your hand, presuming you could walk on water, of course, You could go east all your days and you'd never meet west. He puts an immeasurable distance between the sinner and his sins. You know, God can't forget. That's a failure to which we're subject. But God can do something we can't do. God can will to remember no more. God says their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. He not only blots out the record, He not only casts our sins to the depths of the sea, He not only puts an immeasurable distance between the sinner and the sins, but He says, I'll never remember them anymore. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Listen, friend, what are you going to do about it? Our text says, by Him all that believe are justified from all things. You see, that's the one requirement that God has of you and me. There's nothing else we could do to get to heaven. You see, if you and I had to try and work our way to heaven by doing good things, we could never do enough good things because God is perfect and we're sinless. And because there was only one way, Jesus died on the cross, and He rose again. And God says, by Him, all that believe are justified from all things. Are you prepared to believe on Him tonight? Are you prepared to put your trust in the one who died for you upon the cross and rose again from the dead? That's all that God requires. I just want you to notice, please, verses 40 and 41. And I believe that it was with tears in his eyes that Paul said it. He says, beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the law of Moses, in the prophets. Behold, he despises, and wonder, and perish. Could there be someone sitting here tonight? Could it be that I'm looking into the faces of some who would be like that old gentleman who said, I guess it's too late for me, and turned his head into the corner and ask Brother Gaius to leave? Are you going to say no to the Savior? Paul says, beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, he despises, and wonder. Is there someone here that's wondering at the effects of the gospel? You've seen other people saved, and you know it's made a tremendous difference to them. You're wondering, and yet you'll perish. There was a beautiful book written a few hundred years ago called Pilgrim's Progress. It was an analogy, it's figurative language. And in that book, Christian climbs the hill up to Mount Zion, which figures for us heaven. And he's standing outside of the gate of the city. And to one side, he hears moans and groans. And this is what he says. And I saw, and from the very gate of heaven, there was a way into hell. And there are some that have got so near and yet have perished in their sins. Is there someone here and you've merely trusted Christ? But you're going to go away tonight again without the Savior?
Oh, we cling to you tonight. With all the pity that we can,
won't you trust the Savior? We're not asking you for our sakes. We're not concerned about being able to write of another soul trusting Christ. Our concern is for you, that you might never be in hell.
It's a very, very, very real place.
And once you're there, you'll never get out of it. Oh, be wise. Won't you trust the Savior tonight? Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. You can have your sins forgiven tonight. Right where you sit, you can take the Savior of the world as your Savior. I did it over 37 years ago as a young soldier in the British Army on the island of Cyprus in a radar compound with a rifle slung across my shoulder and a live round up the bore. I got down on my knees and I trusted Christ. And I've never had a moment to regret. He is not a disappointment. Jesus is far, far more to me than in all my glowing daydreams I could have fancied he could be. And the more I get to know him, so the more I find him true. And the more I long that others of you should be right to know him too. He'll save you. He'll satisfy you. He'll secure you for heaven if you'll trust him as your Savior. We don't make appeals. But if there is someone here tonight and you're concerned about your soul, you can speak to someone maybe that's sitting nearby you. Maybe you could ask them if they could get one of the preachers to come along and speak to you. Or maybe you could come yourself and just speak to us and we'll open our Bibles with you and try and help you. I can remember a few years ago, a young man saw him tonight. Wasn't in this school, but I can still see him now walking down the middle aisle, coming down to tell us he trusted Christ that night. And I'm sure he's never regretted it. If there's someone here and you've trusted Christ, won't you tell us so we can share your joy? Shall we pray? Father, those of us who come to know the Savior would thank Thee from the bottom of our hearts for such a lovely, lovely Savior. Father, He's altogether lovely. We thank Thee that He loved us enough that He was willing to come, willing to shed His blood upon the cross, willing to bear the wrath that should have been ours. We thank Thee again, our God, that on the third day Thou didst raise Him up from amongst the dead, and He's alive forevermore. And oh, how we thank Thee for that time we came to know Him. But Father, our hearts go out tonight to those that don't yet know Him. Oh God, open their eyes tonight. We can't do it. Convince them of the truth of what they've heard. And grant, Lord, that we'll know of a number tonight, trusting the Savior. Bless not only here, but wherever the gospel is preached, as we commend us to Thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
333, please. I know we sang it last night, but we're going to sing it again tonight. 333. I gave out this hymn at the close of a conference a few years ago, not here in Vancouver, elsewhere. And I mentioned that you could make this hymn your prayer. And if you actually prayed this hymn from your heart, you could be saved while you're singing the hymn. And on the front row, there was a lady, and she was weeping. And afterwards, we discovered that while we were singing the hymn, she trusted Christ. You can do it tonight, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. Oh, may someone say tonight, oh, Lamb of God, I come. 333 in the meeting will be over.